It's a blessing to have Brother Bragg going to be preaching to us tonight. Brother Bragg, we're excited that you're preaching to us. Brother Bragg is an encourager, and that is for sure. A lot of times on Sunday morning, Brother Bragg will send me a text message. He'll send me and Brother Andrew a text message around 6:45, and that usually wakes Brother Andrew up. And no, I'm just kidding. But he usually gives us a really good Bible verse, and I know Brother Bragg, that always encourages me and Brother Andrew, and it's a blessing. Thank you for all your encouragement. We're looking forward to hearing you preach tonight.
Thanks, Brother Miller. Appreciate it. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And I'll be brief tonight, I promise you. I will be. My son David called and said, "Dad, would you preach to a church in Canada?" I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "They have a Zoom meeting every night." And he said, "Would you be willing to preach to them?" I said, "Sure." And so as soon as we finish here, I'm going to go home and get in front of a computer and preach to a congregation up in Canada. But anyway, Luke chapter 18, let's stand, please. Read the first 8 verses. And I am as disappointed as you are. I wish the preacher was here. I always come on Wednesday night looking forward to hearing Brother Angel preach. But let's pray for him. Keep him in our prayers. And he's been running hard as well. And I just want to mention this. I thank the Lord for Brother Miller and Brother Reardon. They are teaching my grandchildren, and so I want to encourage them. And you vacation Bible school workers and bus workers, God bless you. I appreciate you. Thank you very, very much. Luke chapter 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray, not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, neither regard man, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And I draw your attention to verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. Father, we pray now that you bless the reading of your word. We pray that you would help me to be a help to thy people tonight. Be with preacher, we pray. Help him to overcome this illness. Lord, we pray. We do pray for the Palmateer family. And Lord, we ask that you would bless those who've made decisions in Vacation Bible School. Lord, I pray that as we read a number, each number is a person, a soul. They're going to live in eternity now in heaven. Help them to live for you, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name, for thy sake we pray. And amen. You may be seated. Let me just encourage you, Vacation Bible School workers and the church, to continue having Vacation Bible School. We didn't do it when we first started there in St. Louis, and a preacher friend of mine said, Ed, you're missing out. You need to have Vacation Bible School. So we started having Vacation Bible. We just had a great time. And 1 year, a young lady got saved. We didn't think much of it. I mean, she got saved, praise the Lord. Didn't see her. The next year she comes back. She said, I want to get baptized. Well, you got to get saved first. She said, well, I got saved last year. So you got baptized, started growing in the Lord, went on to Bible college, and worked as a school teacher down in Texas, then married a man, still going to church in Texas, and raising her boys for God. And so I want to encourage you. It's they'll stick. Amen? They'll stick. I want to preach on prayer. Jesus is teaching his disciples a parable about prayer. Prayer is a very powerful thing, and I can never learn enough about it. Prayer is always powerful if we do it. If we do it. Ian Bounds said, men may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our arguments, despise our persons, but they are helpless against our prayers. John Bunyan said, there's much we can do after we pray, but we should not do much until we pray. I just want to look at the parable first. Let's take a look at the parable. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And he tells this parable. He speaks about a widow woman in this city, who is being she's being bothered by an adversary, and she goes to this judge and she says, avenge me of mine adversary. And now, in my opinion, we have a lot of enemies. We have our flesh. It's my Number one problem is Ed Bragg. It's number one problem. We have the world, and then we have the devil. And I think it's speaking about, in application, we'll get to application, I think it's about someone attacking her. It says, avenge me of mine adversary. I say attacking her, going after her for something. Maybe because she's a widow, perhaps maybe her husband left a payment undone, like the widow back in the Old Testament where Elijah said, go sell the oil and pay your debts. Maybe that's the case. I don't know. But she is definitely being attacked by someone, and she's going to court because she's talking to a judge. I don't know about you. If you've ever been to court, it's very unnerving. And I've been there four times, not for me, by the way. Hallelujah. It was for someone else. In fact, three times was as a deaf interpreter, interpreting for someone else. But you notice she went to the judge. It says, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of my adversary. And this judge was a very unjust judge. In fact, that's what the Bible speaks, says he is, an unjust judge. He fears not God, neither regards man. And so she goes to him and she troubles him. She troubles him. The word trouble means to draw close to. It means to bring in near, not in a good way. It means to get in your face. It means to get in your space. You know, have you ever had to talk to someone and they get real close to you when you're talking to them? You know, you got a personal space. Nowadays it's 6 feet apart, but nonetheless. She's in his face. And she's saying to him, avenge me of mine adversary. And she didn't do it just once. She goes to him on Monday after he gets out of court. And she's there in the courtroom. In the back saying, judge, you have to avenge me of mine adversary. Tuesday, she's there. Wednesday, she follows him around in the courthouse. You've got to avenge me of mine adversary. She's troubling him. She is getting under his skin, to put it in our vernacular. She's troubling him. Now, I would not make this comparison, except the Lord does this. Verse number 6, he says, hear what the unjust judge saith. Here's what he said in verse 4, the latter part of it. He says within himself, though I fear not God, neither guard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. I didn't make the comparison, but I see a comparison here of us going to God and asking him to avenge us of our adversary. Not just once, but continually going to God. And the question tonight is this, and the title of the message is this. Do you trouble God? I'm not talking about, are you a trouble to God? I'm saying, have you ever troubled him? Because your adversary is after you. Because the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He hates every one of us. He'd like to destroy every one of us. And the only power we have is God Almighty. That's the only power we have is in Christ. Amen. And so we have to trouble God. I need your help. I've got to have your help. I beg for your help. Amen. That's troubling him. And by the way, I didn't make the comparison. God did. I'm just the messenger. But I'm going to tell you something. I got a hold of this several years ago. Started using this. Troubling. Just do you trouble the Lord? Have you ever had a need that was so pressing, so burdensome to you, that you just had to talk to God about it? Not just one time, not just in your devotions, but I mean constantly. When you got up in the morning, when you ate lunch, when you ate breakfast, God, you've got to help me. You've got to help me. You've got to deliver me. Let me finish the interpretation of it, and let the Bible interpret itself. Verse 7 says, shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night, and to him though he bear long with them. That is speaking of Israel, God's elect. And it's speaking, I believe, about the time in the middle of the tribulation. I believe in the pre-tribulation, by the way. I believe we're going up before the tribulation starts. But in the middle of the tribulation, there's going to be great tribulation. Matthew chapter 24 talks about how that they are going to see the abomination of desolation sitting on the throne, and Israel is going to reject the Antichrist. and they're going to look on him whom they pierced. And it goes on to say they're going to cry and moan for him. And I believe that's what it's talking about, because it says, except God shorten that time, there'd be no flesh saved. And he does it for the elect's sake. He's doing it for Israel to keep them, to save them. And so I think, I believe that's the correct interpretation of this. In verse 8, it says, and I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? That's speaking about future tense, when Jesus comes back again. That's interpretation. But let's make the application. Let's make the application. Do you trouble God? Have you ever troubled God with something that you need desperately? Now, God, who loves us more than we can imagine, likens himself to an unjust judge. Again, I wouldn't make that comparison, but he does. And the strange thing is this. God loves us more than anyone. Jesus died for us. The Holy Spirit is in us. God is totally opposite of the unjust judge, except for the fact he wants to hear from us when we need to be avenged of our adversary. See, we can't do this on our own, folks. We have to have him. We must have him. There are many applications I could make. I'm going to make this one. And you've probably already made some already in your own mind. As grandparents, I see a lot of people with snow on the roof in the room. As parents, nothing is more disconcerting to know that the devil is after your children. And can I tell you, every parent and every grandparent in this room, the devil would like to destroy our children. And since this is VBS, should we not beg God for our children's sake? You folks have been parents. You know there's times when your children go through periods in their life where, boy, I tell you, it's just like the devil's after them. It's just like the devil's on their coattails. What do you do about that, Brother Bragg? I'll tell you what you do. You beg God to avenge you of your adversary. Oh, God, I need your help. By the way, there is no perfect parent. None, zero. We have to have God help us with our children. The Bible speaks about this. If I had time to run through how the adulteress is after the innocent life. And you say, well, I'm just going to kind of let them go and just kind of case her off. Hey, I'm telling you, go ahead and try that. That ain't going to work. You want them to follow God, you best get a hold of the judge and say, oh, God, help me with them. And avenge me of mine adversary. Jana was not a problem child. I just want to set that straight. Jana was born October 4th. She had aspirated some amniotic fluid. And she should have been put in a what do you call those, isolettes. She contracted pneumonia. The nurse on duty was from another floor and didn't put her in that, whatever they call that, to keep her warm and so forth. Then she contracted pneumonia. We didn't think she was going to make it. And this is the first time in my life that I really troubled God about my children. I remember troubling God. I mean, I just didn't talk to him one time. I mean, I remember in that hospital room, hospital hallway, walking the hallway, looking in on her. God, you gotta do something. You gotta help her. You gotta bring her through this. We can't do this. And I remember the look on that nurse's face as she walked out that night after her shift was over, and the fear on her face. I mean, she's responsible for the life of our child in this condition. And I felt bad for her. I really did. But I remember walking that hallway. I was the principal of a school, and I'm sure that we continued on with teachers' meetings and staff meetings, and I'm sure I taught my class, and I'm sure I went through what I was supposed to do. But I don't remember much of it, because I was troubling God for something that I had to have and to avenge me of mine adversary. Do you trouble God? Have you ever troubled God? Folks, let me tell you something. We need to get a hold of God. Not just our children. You know, I got to thinking about this. What if we as a nation just beg God for His mercy again? I remember Brother Vineyard could be a little bit aggravating, amen, but Brother Vineyard called a bunch of preachers and said, I want you to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and pray for the United States. And boy, there's a bunch of preachers that did that. We prayed for the United States, pray for the United States, pray for the United States. If we need anything in our country today, we need God to avenge us of our adversary. Amen. I remember troubling God, and God avenged me of mine adversary. Let's look at verse number 9. Verse number 9 says this, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus unto himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithe of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The last point of the message is simply this. It doesn't take troubling God to get saved. It doesn't take troubling God to get saved. Did you see the contrast? Somebody troubling, begging. No, wait. This man, all he did was just bow his head, showed repentance, true repentance and faith. I'm just a sinner. I need to be saved. That man got saved. It does not take troubling God to get saved. All you need to do is have faith, repentance and faith in Christ. That's it. That's it. Question tonight is this. Do you need to trouble God? Do you need to trouble God? You have an adversary that's after you. Many applications to that. The only answer is God. This kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. We've got to get a hold of God. And application tonight for our children and for our... I got to thinking about this. I thought, man, my children are raised. I'm done. But the Bible says the crown of old men are children's children. I'm not done yet. I got 11 more of them. And I pray for them. Now I'm going to trouble God for them as well. And I thought about this, and I want to say thank you to a church, whether you realize this or not, but you troubled God for Kyle Payne. And you asked God to avenge us of our adversary. And the little boy we hold tonight is because God avenged us of an adversary. And so I want to say thank you. Do you have someone that, or do you have something that you need to trouble God for? He wants you to trouble Him. That's the great thing is, He wants you to trouble Him because He's the only one that has the power to overcome it. We can't do it. We need to trouble Him when our adversary is after us. Father, I pray you bless what we said tonight. Oh, Lord, I'm so glad you want us to trouble you. Lord, help us to see the area in which we should bring our needs and ask you to avenge us of our adversary. Lord, there may be some in here that are not even aware of an adversary. I pray that you would wake us up and help us to see how the devil's influence can work in. And we need to beg you for a vengeance. So, Lord, we pray that you bless the invitation we ask. And heads bowed, eyes closed, I'll ask one question. Let me say, Brother Bragg, I am not saved. I'd like to be saved. I'm not saved, but I'd like to be saved. I'd like to trust Christ as my Savior tonight. Anybody like that at all? Slip your hand up. I'll see it. All right, I'm going to pray and then turn it over to Brother Allen. Father, pray now that you bless the invitation or whatever Brother Allen wants to do with it. I pray that you would help us to remember these verses. Again, I pray that you bless the preacher tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand to our feet as the piano begins to play. The altar is open. What a good message for us tonight. I encourage you, if God spoke to your heart, come and do business with the Lord. Many different ways God could have spoken to you. What a good message for us to hear. Are we troubling God? Are we spending time in prayer every day? Maybe there's something that God wants you to trouble Him about this week. Whatever your need is, whatever the burden is on your heart, God wants to hear about it. God wants to help in that situation. But He asks us to trouble Him in prayer. How about it tonight? There's still time to come. If you need to come, I encourage you, come and do business with the Lord. Do we trouble God? Do we seek after the Lord and ask Him for help on a daily basis?